There is no other sport where more people give back to help others than the great game of golf. And our guest today on Musings on Golf is a vivid example of how golf can not only enrich the lives of other people, but in some cases actually save lives. Kelly Elbin back with you, along with Jenna Self, our executive producer. And shortly, you'll hear a powerful interview with PGA of America professional Russ Holden. Russ is the director of golf for the Warriors Journey, which using golf, I mean, they welcome wounded warriors into a what they call a safe, encouraging community through golf. And then they really stay with them long after that first tee shot, long after golf becomes a part of their lives. Russ is a fascinating man. He caddied for Bernhard Langer in major championships. He started something called Caddy for a Cure, which offered the public really a unique opportunity to caddy for players on the PGA Tour at pro-ams, events like that, with 100% of the proceeds going to charity. The event or the program unfortunately went out of existence when COVID hit. But Russ has been very much involved with the Warriors Journey Golf ever since. More on Russ in just a moment. Folks, I've got two words for you as we record this on Wednesday, April 1st, and I am not fooling when I say thank goodness. Thank goodness that Tiger Woods realizes he has a major problem. And thank goodness, as he wrote, as he posted on his social media accounts on Tuesday, that he is stepping away for a period of time to seek treatment and focus on my health. He continues and says, I know and understand the seriousness of the situation I find myself in today. I am stepping away for a period of time to seek treatment and focus on my health. This is necessary in order for me to prioritize my well-being and work toward lasting recovery. I'm committed to taking the time needed to return to a healthier, stronger, and more focused place, both personally and professionally. Thank goodness. I have to be very honest with you. If we had recorded this introduction a day earlier, my feelings and comments would have been vastly different. But I'm glad to hear this. This is the first step. And you know, I don't want to hear any more about, is Tiger Woods going to play in the Masters? No. Is Tiger Woods going to get his life in order? Is really the question. You can see it in the pictures posted. You can see it in all of these incidents. And again, lucky that no one was hurt. I think it's embarrassing for him. I think it's got to be really troubling for his kids. And the game of golf is way down the ladder here. And let's just hope that he actually does get the counseling, the treatment that he needs, that he follows through on it, and that it really makes a difference for him. It was really fascinating to me to see the juxtaposition between Tiger and the accident he had on Jupiter Island, not far from where I live here in South Florida, on Friday, and the very emotional victory by Gary Woodland at the Texas Children's Houston Open on Sunday. Brain surgery, brain lesions, dealing with PTSD. This is what Gary Woodland's life has been like for the last, 2 years. And to be able to back from that, to be very open through that interview that he did with Rex Hoggard on Golf Channel a couple of weeks ago, which I think really lifted an emotional weight off of his shoulders. And I also know that Gary, who's a big-time patriot in this country, a really good man, has gotten a lot of support from Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who's a PGA professional. Dan started Folds of Honor, the organization that's now awarded 73,000 educational scholarships since 2007 to children whose parents have been either hurt in the line of duty or killed in the line of duty. So impressive what Gary did down the stretch, such incredible support. Let's hear what Gary Woodland had to say about what he was most proud of in gaining that really, really great win on Sunday in Houston.
That I didn't give up. I haven't felt like this in a long time. I kept telling myself I've been here before and I've done it. But I tried to slow down a little bit today and take it in, because this a couple years ago didn't seem like it was possible. So I slowed down a little bit. I took in the love and support of everyone, and I just kept telling myself I wasn't alone, and I was able to come out on top.
Well, again, so pleased for Gary Woodland. And the way he's hitting the ball, why can't he be a big-time force at the Masters coming up next week? And by the way, before I get to leading in to Russ Holden, remember, you've got two really cool events before we talk to you next in the Augusta National Women's Amateur this week and the Drive, Chip, and Putt Sunday morning at Augusta National Golf Club. Really shows, again, how far Augusta National has come in expanding their commitment to the game to all audiences. It's just fantastic. Okay, final word before you hear from Russ Holden. I had known about Russ for quite some time and really met him through our mutual friend, Dennis Walters. Dennis, of course, is the gentleman who was struck down with a golf cart accident many years ago and has only gone on to perform tens of thousands of trick shot golf shows and be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. You talk about turning lemons into lemonade. That's who Dennis Walters is. And for Russ, such an inspirational guy as well. You'll hear that in the interview. I'm excited for you all to hear that. And you're also going to hear some exciting news from one of our great friends, William and Harry. They're launching a limited time golf shoe tied in with the first major of the year. And you're also hear from a legendary football coach. Coach Urban Meyer has some great things to say about William and Harry as well. And remember to subscribe to Musings on Golf. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, and let's hear from Russ Holden, PGA of America professional, and the Warriors Journey Golf, right after William and Harry and the Friars Golf Club. Kelly Elbin here, and you're hearing this first on Musings on Golf. William and Harry Golf is unveiling the brand new Spring Championship Collection, and we're so very proud to be the first to announce it. Two stunning shoes, the Champions Walk and the Azalea, one designed for men and one for women, built on the same design nominated by Golf Digest as one of the best golf shoes of 2025 and quite possibly the most comfortable golf shoe in the world today. Inspired by the colors of golf's most iconic spring championship, greens, yellows, and the beautiful pink bloom of spring in the South. And I'll tell you this, these may be, in fact, the most comfortable and the most beautiful golf shoes created in 2026. The Spring Championship Collection officially begins today, so be sure to visit williamandharry.com to learn more about this exciting new collection. William and Harry Golf, spring has finally arrived, and it's all about William and Harry Golf. Is your golf life stuck in a bunker of country club hassles? Tired of the wait lists and the six-figure initiation fees? Well, at the Friars Golf Club, we take care of all of the hard work, planning exclusive trips and unforgettable rounds on top-rated courses, so all you have to do is show up, have fun, and make lifelong friendships on the first tee, the 19th hole, and far beyond. Our terrific 2026 lineup includes international destinations like Dubai and Scandinavia, plus top domestic resorts such as Sand Valley and Black Desert, and access to some great private clubs. Join the Friars Golf Club today. Email us at info@thefriars.com, the word musings in the subject line, to receive a $500 trip credit when you join. We invite you to stop dreaming and start living the ultimate golf experience with the Friars Golf Club. Well, if you have the want to, you can truly use the game of golf to enrich and change lives. Our special guest today has had that want to for more than 30 years and counting through starting Caddy for a Cure, then combining forces for what is known as the Warrior's Journey. Giving back is always top of mind. For PGA of America professional Russ Holden, the director of golf at the Warrior's Journey, and our very special guest today, delighted to welcome him to Musings on Golf. Russ, how are you? So great to catch up with you.
Gosh, it's great to catch up with you, and what an honor to be with you on your show. Big fan for a long time, and just thrilled to be here.
Thanks. And, you know, we got connected to have you as a guest through our mutual friend, Dennis Walters, who we both love to the nth degree. You were actually telling a story, and I want to get to that first, of playing golf with Gary Player, with Dennis. Dennis is, as many of know, is also, like Gary, a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. Dennis unfortunately had a golf cart guard accident many years ago and has only gone on to perform tens of thousands of trick shot golf shows. But talk a little bit about the time you played golf with Dennis and Gary, and then what you told me was the greatest weather delay or rainout that you've ever had in golf history.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate getting to work with Dennis, and you know, just as you said, one of the greatest guys in all of golf. And Gary has a deep affection for him. Gary played with Dennis back in South Africa when Dennis was still able and playing, and they still remember those times. But Gary and actually Mr. Nicholas, Jack Nicholas, are the ones that got Gary into the Hall of Fame, and they were the ones that made that call. So when Dennis plays with Gary, I always get the call from Dennis, and I get to caddy and assist Dennis that day. As you can well imagine, he needs assistance. So a great day for me. We played at Trump International, had a great day. And what struck me was, at the time, Gary was 89 years old, and he's literally just telling stories on every hole and doing whatever and running around. Legit 12 holes, he's legit 3 under, pounding it, just shooting darts and making everything and getting it up and down, and just an incredible golf. But then lightning delay, and we came in for what I consider the greatest lightning delay that I've ever been in, because I got to sit right next to Gary for about 2.5 hours and enjoy lunch and enjoy his commentary on virtually everything in the world of golf.
Yeah, and right, it was almost better in a sense to have that time face to face as opposed to playing golf.
Yeah, if you don't tell anybody, she was great. It was awesome. You know, you're just sitting there with a legend, and you're just like, oh my goodness gracious, here's Gary. And I've had the great fortune to spend a lot of time around him, but that 2.5 intimate hours of just nonstop was just awesome.
Well, we've been fortunate here on Musings on Golf to have both Dennis as a guest, and also had Mr. Player on just before he turned 90. And, you know, selfishly for me, that was just an incredible honor to be able to interview him. I can imagine those 2 hours with him face to face. Hey, and I know Gary's commitment and passion for those who have served our country is immense. And I mentioned at the outset, Caddy for a Cure. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to talk about your long relationship, having caddied for Bernhard Langer on the PGA Tour for many years, helping him and so forth. But let's talk about the Warriors' journey. It was something that was started, 10 years ago. How did it eventually get involved where you're a major factor in what the Warriors' journey does? What is the Warriors' journey, and what's the goal for those who have served our country?
Yeah, Warriors Journey is an incredible company based out of Springfield, Missouri, and they specialize in crisis intervention. Basically, what we say is healing invisible wounds through a unique system of relationship and connectors. And by connectors, what I mean by that is if your loved one, a friend, loved one, whatever, is in trouble, he or she, sir, and that crisis comes where they're contemplating idolizing suicide, what'll happen is when they call into the Warriors Journey, our toll-free number that's available to any situation like that, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what'll happen is it's kind of unique because, you know, we're talking golf, right now. And yeah, obviously you're in the world of golf. Your whole life is golf. My whole life is golf. We can have that instant camaraderie and that instant connection. So what we do with the Warriors Journey is we use other warriors that have previously served. And so, for example, if you're a Marine and you served in Afghanistan, you were a gunnery sergeant and you served in this time and this time. So we have over 1,000 connectors nationwide. So what will happen is the algorithm will come in and it'll actually connect you to another warrior that in most cases will be very, very similar. At worst case, it'll be branch. And at worst case, it'll be deployment. So they were also in Afghanistan. They were also a Marine. And that instant camaraderie, just like you and I have right now on this conversation, happens. And as a result, we've got this staggering number right now through this relationship thing. We've had now over 4,900 in the 10 years crisis interventions. That is, again, someone was considering suicide. They called the line, and through our system, we were able to talk them down out of suicide. To give you an example, the VA, not to be derogatory towards the VA at all, But the VA is averaging about 17% success rate right now. And the sad part is they're actually happy about it. So that means that if your loved one were to call the VA right now, they're going to get a wonderful doctor. They're going to get a wonderful nurse. They're going to get a wonderful clinician. But unfortunately, they can't talk the talk the same as what a warrior could that was in the theater, in the battle themselves. And that system right now is actually, the good news is it's actually being looked at by the administration. We're in the Secretary of the VA right now. Secretary Collins has deep ties to this, really likes it. And we're also a faith-based organization. So ultimately, we don't pound it over anyone's head, but our mantra is body, mind, soul, and spirit. Because ultimately, when you get to a point of thinking of ending your life or a terrible situation like that, the spiritual side comes into it as well. And we're right there for that.
Just incredible. Congratulations. That's absolutely fantastic. And doing some research ahead of this interview and reading about the Warrior's Journey Golf, there was a line, Russ, that stood out to me. It says, golf is the hook. Aftercare is the hallmark. Explain a little bit about there. How is golf used as the hook in terms of those 4,900 individuals and more who you're helping?
Well, golf is just such a great game. You know, when we were thinking about doing this, as I said earlier, when Caddy for a Cure was winding down and COVID hit, and we wanted to continue to keep serving, so we started a group called Inspiring Warriors Golf. And my plan was to get some of the best golf professionals in the world. I'm right here at PGA Golf Club, and we have access to a lot of top class PGA professionals. We wanted to provide a great golf experience. But more importantly, we wanted to provide all the things of overcoming adversity, success, motivation, all those types of things. And it was ironically right at that same time that we had met the Warrior's Journey, Kevin Weaver from the Warrior's Journey. It's just awesome. So we started right at the outset, and we had this idea that I could do the golf side pretty well. We got people like Bob Ford, Matt Cahill, Steve Parker, Rob Shaw, Mark and Leslie Guttenberg, Bob Dolan, another PGA Hall of Famer.
We do the golf. Great PGA members.
We joke that if you come away from your week, are we called a waypoint? If you come away from our waypoint, you still suck. Well, then it's on you. There's not much we can do about that. But in all seriousness, that's our outreach. So the way a week goes is we bring them in and it's golf, golf, golf. I created a phrase. You know, golf is such a great game that the places that you go, and we look around where we're at PGA Golf Club, we're at Trump International, we're at some great golf course, and the people that you meet and look around, look at all the people that we get to meet because of golf, the things you learn about yourself. And finally, in this application, the time you spend with your battle buddies, you know, what else can you do and go out there and spend 4 or 5 hours with another brother or sister that also served? That went through the same thing, that raised their right hand just like you did. And golf provides that great opportunity. So for us, the way a week goes, it's golf, golf, golf the first part of the week. And as the week goes on and they feel more comfortable, they're among friendlies. They recognize that, hey, this is a pretty nice thing. There's a bunch of great people here. Yeah. They become open and more vulnerable. And usually by the second or third day, we start to hear a lot of trash talk. We start to hear, you know, making fun of other branches and things like that. And by that third day, they're so open that they're willing to talk. And that's when we start to transfer or merge into a workshop setting where we actually arrange workshops where men and women can sit down and talk, and they'll talk openly. So golf is the hook that gets them in. That's our outreach. That provides them the vehicle to be able to open up and talk. And it's been immensely, immensely successful.
Russ, do you have a story or two, and whether you want to mention a name or not is fine, of how this has impacted, how this has helped an individual, someone who's overcome whatever? Is there a story that stands out to you?
Yeah, I'll repeat it. The mantra of the Warrior's Journey is healing invisible wounds, and they're just that. We bring in people that have been physically wounded as well. But even the physically wounded have invisible wounds that we can't see. And what happens a lot of cases, you'll go into a restaurant or go into Walmart or go wherever, and you'll see somebody that's missing a leg or missing an arm and say, oh, you know, that person, that he or she is wounded. But what we don't see is that person that's whole physically. They're in 100%. And we don't know. We don't know what they're suffering with. We don't know what they're going through because they have these invisible wounds. So in our case, these opportunities through golf, just in our, in some of our most previous, recent waypoints, we've had three men that came through that by the end of the week, we had no idea coming in. They were happy. They were playing golf. They were having fun. And when it came right down to the end, we believe wholly that they would not be walking the face of the earth right now had they not come through the Warrior's Journey program. And, that's very chilling for us, you know, cause I'm a golf pro. We come in to teach golf and talk about the greatness of this game. And we walk away at the end of the week with a much bigger chore and task ahead of us because we really are saving lives. And the nice part about the hallmark gold star of what we do is there are a lot of other great things that are out there that in different venues, fishing and even golf and hunting and shooting and everything like that. The difference with what we do is that when Friday comes, when the end of the week comes, it's not goodbye. It's just see you later, because every person that comes through the Warrior's Journey golf program gets put into the Warrior's Journey parent company database management. So they're going to get touched once a month minimum for the rest of their journey here on earth. And that also includes their spouse, it includes their children, and includes their mom and dad. So if they have issues with VA benefits, if they have issues with Social Security, if they need a hot water heater, if they need a new job, if they have a problem with a car, they call the Warrior's Journey, and the Warrior's Journey is going to go ahead and step in and take care of that.
Where does your funding come from to be able to do these wonderful things?
We do a lot of different things. We have private sponsorships. We have private donors. As we talked about, we're going to be at the Masters next week, branded group up there. And then we have some people coming in afterwards that support the Warrior's Journey. We're doing a bunch of different things. Warrior's Journey is growing in leaps and bounds right now beyond all of our wildest comprehension. It's just, this is so amazing when you tell people, it's almost like it's surreal. How could that possibly be that you could only have one failure, one tragic loss out of 4,900? And it really, again, to me, I'm kind of one dimensional. I always go back to golf. But golf is just such a great thing that it allows this relationship. It allows us to go play golf. And I mean, even, you know, Janice in the background and yourself and myself, different backgrounds, very diverse. And yet we can all go and enjoy something for 4 or 5 hours that I know of no other thing on earth that we can all go from different backgrounds and enjoy. And that's why golf is so great.
Well, it's been great so far talking to our good friend, Russ Holden. Russ is the PGA of America professional and the director of golf at the Warrior's Journey Golf. Russ, your story, though, you mentioned about golf. Yes, your story begins in golf, certainly as a club professional at a course down in Boca Raton, Florida. Talk a little bit about that and then the opportunity when you met Bernhard Langer, how that came to be as far as caddying for him, and then ultimately getting Caddy for a Cure started.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story because I had some people at my church, as a matter of fact, down in Boca Raton that were building a golf course, maybe Woodfield Country Club, and they had me down for lunch one day, and I had no idea I was being interviewed, and I was way too young, I was way too inexperienced, and I had absolutely zero business getting the job, and they offered me the head professional's job. So I did what any normal, smart-thinking person would do. I said, yeah, I'm all in. Let's do it.
Of course.
And I ended up getting my first head professional's job at Woodfield, as you mentioned, and we opened the course in November 1987. And it was truly thereafter.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, my goodness. I was only, 27 years old. And, you know, here I am as the head professional, and I met Bernhard. Bernhard lived in Woodfield Hunt Club 2 at the time. And a friend of ours, one of our, a mutual friend, a developer, set us up to play golf one day. And we hit it off. We played 9 holes. And later that evening, it was Christmas time. And later that evening, there was a concert over at church in Boca there, and walked in the lobby and there was Bernhard. And, you know, we just literally got done playing and just met. And we hit off a friendship that, you know, is now well over 40 years old. So, it was really amazing that it all ended up doing what he do. And then one day, Pete Coleman was his longtime caddy.
Right. Yes.
I think they had one of the longest records ever. And Pete couldn't make it one week, and I got the call, and Bernhard asked me if I wanted to caddy at the PGA Championship at Crooked's Vic. John Daly won there, and you know, I thought, well, yeah, sure, I'm a golf professional. I played, I tried to play for a living, and this is gonna be easy. And I was so far out of my league. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was hooked. I was like a kid in a candy store. I'm walking around, and Bernhard's three in the world at the time. And I'm walking around, and there's Seve, and there's Greg, and there's Jack, and there's Arnie, and they all know Bernhard, and they're all walking up to him. And, you know, I'm sitting there on cloud nine. So I became Bernhard's worst thorn, because I was always bugging him about when could I fill in. And Pete, it was a really nice thing, because I had a different personality than Pete did. And then I started with the coaching stuff a little bit more when I was Willie Hoffman's eyes before we had these cell phones and, you know, everything like that. So I got to caddy for him several times, many, many times, and it was fun. And then Pete quit one year, I think 2002, I think, something like that. And he quit, and I got the call from the British Open, and he called, or the Open Championship, I should say. He called and said, Pete just quit. You know, would you like to come out and do this full time as an experiment? And I was in the right place at the right time, and it was fantastic. I did it for 6 years, and had a blast doing it.
I was so fortunate to sit next to Bernhard Langer several times when I was the director of communications for the PGA of America during interviews. And I, as you can understand, when I say there's no finer person who I interviewed, who I sat next to, and I'm sure you felt that way. Almost sounds like almost from the moment you met him.
Yeah, he gives it everything he has on whatever it is, whether it's playing pickleball or ping pong or golf or an interview. He's very, very passionate about everything that he does, and he goes all in, and he does an absolutely fantastic job at whatever it is. And he, you know, to think about the success that he's had, overachieving really, all the obstacles that he's had to incur over his career, you know, from his size to being from a little town just west of Munich. With nine holes and not, you know, golf not being widely accepted in Germany at the time with him growing up, to have the career that he's had is unbelievable.
Hey, Russ, we'll be back with you in just a moment, right after we hear from our friends at William & Harry, including this special message from Coach Urban Meyer.
As a coach, I've always believed the little details matter. Preparation and discipline. Having the right equipment. That's why I wear William & Harry golf shoes. They're the most comfortable and classy shoes on and off the course. You'll appreciate the difference. William & Harry golf shoes, comfort, class, and championship standards.
Kelly Elbin here, and you're hearing this first on Musings on Golf. William & Harry Golf is unveiling the brand new Spring Championship Collection, and we're so very proud to be the first to announce it. Two stunning shoes, the Champions Walk and the Azalea, one designed for men and one for women, built on the same design nominated by Golf Digest as one of the best golf shoes of 2025 and quite possibly the most comfortable golf shoe in the world today. Inspired by the colors of golf's most iconic spring championship, greens, yellows, and the beautiful pink bloom of spring in the South. And I'll tell you this, these may be, in fact, the most comfortable and the most beautiful golf shoes created in 2026. The Spring Championship Collection officially begins today, so be sure to visit williamandharry.com to learn more about this exciting new collection. William & Harry Golf, spring has finally arrived, and it's all about William & Harry Golf.
In 2004, he asked you to be the caddy captain. Was that the correct title?
Right, yeah.
At the Ryder Cup at Oakland Hills outside of Detroit, and the U.S. obviously, or the Europeans obviously had great success there. How did that come to be named the caddy captain? What were the responsibilities, and how cool of an experience, Russ Holden, was that?
Well, it's kind of the tradition, I guess, where the caddy of the captain gets to be the caddy captain, and okay. It was a great honor. we had a real good run at the Masters that year. We had gone down 10 on Sunday. That was the year Phil won his first time. He was playing right behind us with Chris DeMarco, and then Ernie and KJ were playing in front of us. And we came to 10, and Bernhard doesn't like looking at the scoreboard at Augusta. He looks at the scoreboard everywhere else, but he says, I can look at it, but he, for some reason, he just wants to play golf there. So we walked from 9 to 10, and I looked over, and you know, it's not always easy because you have, because it's not like a traditional scoreboard, and I'm looking, trying to figure it out and still do my job. And we got a one shot lead, and he ropes a nice 3-wood around the turn down there. And I thought, this is the coolest thing that's ever going to happen to me in all of golf, whatever happens. And you know, ultimately Phil went on to win and we didn't, and it was so cool, but I was so wrong. Because the coolest experience ever was being at the Ryder Cup, getting to fulfill that. One interesting thing that happened on the way over is we left Heathrow, and Billy Foster, longtime great caddy for Seve, Lee Westwood, bunch of great players, world class guy and caddy. He's Scottish, and we were about halfway over the ocean, and I felt a little tap on my shoulder like that, and I looked up, and it was Billy Foster, and he gave me one of these. So I came back and he started doing one of these, like literally punching me right in the chest. I want to know what you're doing on this team as an American. And I'll say I was like, okay.
So he was serious.
He was dead serious. So I looked up on, you see the guy sitting up there in seat 1A with the curly hair, the blonde hair. He's my best friend. And I want to see him win his Ryder Cup. Don't get me wrong. I bleed red, white, and blue inside here, but this week I'm going to bleed blue and yellow. You don't have anything to worry about. I want that guy to win his Ryder Cup. And I was like, wow, I can't believe I just said that. That was really cool. I don't know where I came up with that. It was like, I got put right on the spot. So we had a great week at Oakland Hills. It's my hometown. I grew up. I got thrown off of Oakland Hills sneaking on when I was a kid. And here I am, you know, many years later, and I'm holding the Ryder Cup, standing there with the team. On 18 green, that was a surreal experience, thinking I'm looking for somebody to come and catch me and throw me out of this place. I can't believe it's real.
Yeah, and it's a special place. I was the editor of PGA Magazine and lived in Troy, Michigan for about 7 years. So I know that area well. And that is, I always said, and you know this well, the state of Michigan, particularly for the limited period of time they can play golf, the rabid nature of golfers there, I think it's unmatched.
Yeah, Cleveland's pretty good too, but I'm right with you. I think Detroit is the sleeper area. There's so many Franklin Hills and Oakland Hills, and you could talk for an hour about all the great stuff that's around Detroit and how much people in Michigan really enjoy their golf.
Did Billy Foster at the end of the week come back up to you and say, hey, everything's cool? How did that work out?
I'm so glad you asked that because it's a great commentary. I'll try to make it brief, but we were going down for dinner on Saturday night, and you asked earlier about my responsibilities. So one of my responsibilities was to set up dinner, and we had 28 caddies, wives, and family that week. So there I am in Detroit trying to make reservations for 28 people. And the last night we decided it was just too hard, and we decided to have eat at the hotel that we were at, somewhere there around Pontiac, around the Silver Dome. I don't remember where, but we're in the elevator coming down, and there's two American caddies who are, by the way, some of my best friends. They're in the elevator, and they're coming down. They get down to the bottom, and they both go their separate ways. And then I see a couple more caddies separated from America, sitting over on the other side. And by the way, we're kicking their butts right now. You know, this has got to be a Ben Crenshaw country club kind of moment for them, for Hal to be able to pull this out. Like, it's virtually impossible. It was similar to this past year. You're going to have some kind of thing to get it done. So what ended up happening was we have this room for dinner, and we're sitting there, and I'm looking out, and I'm seeing all of these American caddies. There's nowhere we would have rather been that night. We were a team, and we would not have dreamed about going anywhere else. And I think that's a big commentary on this whole biannual thing that I'm not sure America, it's just because of the way we live over here and the way everything goes, where in Europe, it's just totally different. But during the dinner, about halfway through dinner, we hear the Billy's clanking the glass, you know, like at a wedding. And he stands up and he goes, best caddy captain of all time. And he gave it sure out to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this guy scared the living daylights out of me for the past week because I thought he was going to take me out back and kill me. And I was so grateful that I was able to win everyone's hearts over because I worked my butt off that week.
Great story. Great story. Caddy for a Cure. Russ Holden, remind everyone what Caddy for a Cure was. Unfortunately, as you said, it got set back because of COVID. What was it and why did you start it?
Yeah, so I'm there at Woodfield. I'm the head professional, as I mentioned, and one of my assistants who used to play baseball, he Tommy John surgery, ended his career, got in the golf business, great guy. He has a second child who has a rare bone marrow disorder called Fanconi anemia while he's working at Woodfield for us. So Christian Collins was born August 25th, 1993. And we didn't really know what it was and later quickly found out it was this bone marrow disorder called Fanconi anemia, which is lethal. They're very, very small. The bones don't develop. And it comes with a plethora of other issues that go along with it. So it was my first touch with family that had a life or death type situation going on. We were literally living, breathing, and dying every day with this disease. So fast forward, they had two more boys healthy. And then their fifth child, Kalen, was born July 2nd, 1998, also with what we call FA. And I knew I wanted to do something. I said to myself, I've got to do something. Somewhere, somehow, I got to do something that's going to make an impact on this disease. So as I mentioned, I was caddying for Bernhard, and I was walking down these fairways carrying the bag, and I felt envy everywhere I went. I felt people were like, man, I'd give anything to be able to trade places with that guy for a day.
Sure.
So I went and went to the PGA Tour, and it took a year. We went back and forth, had many, many meetings at Ponte Vedra. I've gone back and forth to talk about all the what ifs, the security and the money and everything. They finally gave me a very short leash and allowed us to start caddy for a Cure. And it would be simply that Kelly would have the opportunity to come inside the ropes and caddy for a tour player during a practice round or pro-am. And in 2005, we were at La Cantera. In fact, next week's in San Antonio. We were La Cantera doing the Texas Open, and the PGA Tour is very military appreciative, incredible organization. They walked six young Marines down the range that had all lost legs. We talked earlier about physical wounds and invisible wounds. These guys, it was physical and it was a chilling sight. And they were sitting there watching Bernhard hit balls and standing right next to Frank Licklider. And Frank said when they walked away is that just because he or she's had an accident doesn't mean you're still not fascinated by watching the best players in the world. And we've been doing Caddy for a Cure for several years. Kelly would come out as a civilian. And I had this idea right then. It's like, well, why couldn't he or she be escorted by a wounded service member? So I went to the PGA Tour. It took them like 3.5 megaseconds to go, we love that, run with that. So that's when we kind of morphed into a military initiative at that moment in time. So for the next, 16 years, we had escorts at many, many, many of our caddy experiences. We had over 800 caddy experiences through the years. So we did it for almost 20 years in total. And as I said, when COVID came, the bubble and all that kind of stuff, it just made it very, very difficult for us to get back out. And we had this other idea and we just kind of ran with it.
Great stories. I've always been fascinated and so appreciative and envious, if you said, of people like yourself who give back. And I'm wondering, was that the sense of wanting to help others? Is that just always been part of your DNA, Russ Holden? Was that something that your parents stressed? What pushed you to want to start Caddy for a Cure and then get involved with what you're doing now?
I don't know. I've always had a heart for someone that I feel is less fortunate. That I through this great game, as I said earlier, the places that I've been and the people that I've gotten to meet and the things that I've gotten to do. Here's this dumb kid from Westland, Michigan, growing up a son of a milkman and, growing up on the raunchiest of public golf courses. And here I am in the likes of Augusta and things like that. So when I see somebody that has been hurt, has been dealt a bad deck of cards in their life, like Christian was and Kalen has been, our boys with FA. There's just something that just strikes me. My mom, ended the last, she 80 years, and I always divided it up when she passed away into four rounds, first round, second round, third round, fourth round. Well, the fourth round is always the most important round, right? Because that's where we actually win. Her fourth round, her last 20 years, she worked at a company called Food for the Poor down in Coconut Creek, just south of us here. And she raised $32 million during her 20 years there, helping people and families throughout the Central Americas, Jamaica, Honduras, all that region down there, building homes and feeding families for years. And in retrospect, I can look back now and say, well, that it was that impact that kind of helped me and pushed me along my way.
EJ of America professional Russ Holden, the director of golf for the Warriors Journey, is our very special guest here on Musings on Golf. You mentioned Michigan. You were a good player at a relatively small college in Michigan, right?
Well, I defected. I went to Ohio.
Malone College. Oh, my goodness.
Now Malone University is in Canton, Ohio. And yeah. I was kind of a reborn Ohio, but I've still got that Michigan go blue. I think we're just raised to hate Ohio State. I don't know what it is. That's in my DNA. Hating Ohio State is in my DNA. All right. But yeah, I made All-American and thought I could play and got out of college and tried to play for several years. And I always like to say I decided that one day I like to eat on a regular basis, and it wasn't going to allow me to do that. So I wisely, in retrospect now, hindsight's always 20/20, but it was probably the best decision I ever made to physically try to stop playing golf to make a living.
I want to go back to when you started a caddy for Bernhard. It's one thing to be, you know, at a club and working there. It's an entirely different situation to be at a PGA Tour event or a major golf championship. What struck you as a almost kind of a first time caddy, if you will, in the big leagues? What was different? What did you maybe not expect? Is there a story there was like, wow, this is really a lot harder than I ever envisioned?
The pace and the number of things that I think you have to get done and accomplish. Not using lasers and having to walk things off. And then for me, it was especially difficult because Bernhard plays in meters. He doesn't play in yards. So I had to learn how to do that.
To this day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he still does. And that was difficult, and especially when we would go to places like Denver where you have elevation, and then you also have the barometric pressure that, you know, the we're standing there in a couple of holes and, you know, he's like, hey, what are we right now? And I'm trying to do the math and I'm like, poof, I have no, you know, this was tough on him. But, you know, it's a very worthy profession. And the other thing that I noticed with all the years with Caddy for a Cure is that, you know, the stigma or the old aura of a professional caddy, you know, was, you know, in many cases, people used to think, well, it's a drunken derelict. And, you know, they're just, you know, you drank whiskey all night last night, you slept in your car and whatever. Those days are gone. This is immensely profitable, very worthy business. And I would venture to say, hey, there's crummy people in Congress, right? So there's crummy people everywhere. There's crummy announcers, but there's poor people. But the majority of the caddies that are out on any tour are world-class people. In many cases, they're world-class players themselves. Most of them are college educated. If not, they're all very articulate. And there's always a couple that aren't. But for the most part, you'd have dinner with every single one of these men and women. And that was kind of surprising to me, because even as a golf professional, I went into it with a different vision of what caddying was all about. It's a really cool lifestyle if that's something you want to go do.
Did you club Bernhard a lot? Did you read putts for him? Every that relationship between player and caddy is going to be different with every person. What was that like working with him?
Scary. It was. So we had a rule that I was never to put my hand on a golf club. He really didn't like that. Like, you know, if I thought it was a 5-iron and, you know, I would have bet 100 out of 100 he's going to pick 5-iron. Don't put my hand on the 5-iron. And then what my job was to prepare for his question if he had a question. So my job was to read the putt, be ready to hit it as though I was going to hit it, and yeah, not say anything unless he asked me, which was quite a lot, maybe too much. You know, I think Terry probably might do it a little bit less now, and maybe that's why he's making more putts. I tell people all the time, I don't know what happened. As soon as I stopped caddying for him, he started playing really good. But it was scary. And then the meters thing, we had one incident in, San Antonio. We were kind of in the hunt coming down, and I don't remember what hole was, par five. And, you know, he got there real quick to the ball and rattled off a number, and I was still working on it. And I just kind of agreed with him. It looked good to me, and he hit it, and the ball wasn't 30 feet off the club face. And he goes, "Did you give me yards or meters?" And meanwhile, as the ball is sailing, you know, we both nearly hit probably a club and a half too much. And with the par five, we ended up making, I think we made par or bogey on it, where we, you know, the whole field was birdie, and this hole is easy.
He knew right away.
He knew right away. Yeah. He knew right away. Yeah.
Was he unique, Russ, for a European player going by meters? Were there other European players then or even now who do that?
Oh, there's quite a few guys that still play in meters. I forget all the countries. I think South Africans play, either Aussies or South Africans, I think, play in meters. And then Germans obviously play in meters. There's quite a few guys. I know Mark Long, we do books meters and yards. They're always available on both.
More or yards, for sure.
Right, exactly. Last question we always ask is who would you play with in a dream foursome, if you will. But before we get to that, please tell our listeners, for the Warriors Journey, where can they go to learn more, to donate, to be involved with what you're doing?
Great question. Yeah, it's real simple. TWJ.org. TWJ.org. If you have anyone military that served, you'd like to have us talk to them, if you'd like to get in a program, let us help you on your journey. You or your family member or friend or anybody, go to twj.org. And our golf program is twjgolf.org. Pretty simple. You can go there, read all about our waypoints that we're doing, read about the one that's upcoming in Augusta, read about all the past ones. And then we have events around the country that we do. We just did one a couple of weeks ago here in Palm Beach, but we'd be honored to have you have a look at it. And if it's something that feels strikes at your heart, we'd be thrilled to have you consider donating.
Well, that's the thing. Whether donating or, as you said, strikes at the heart, that's the important thing. It's very much of a mission, isn't it? It's very much of, as you said, with the assistant professional you had with his kids, and it's very much a giving back and caring for others, correct?
It sure is. It's as you touched on earlier, it's kind of in my DNA to want to help people. And when we see Warriors coming in, it's kind of the fun part of the year for us. And I'm going to get to see it at Augusta in 2 weeks. But we come in and we hang with these men and women, and we see firsthand what they're dealing with. And when you walk away, you just have a completely different perspective on what we're doing and what we're trying to do in golf. And it's overwhelming, really, when you get done.
I was going to say, it has to be a very emotional scene, situation within yourself, to, as long as you've been doing this or been involved, to see others and then to know their stories, and then how you can help them, knowing that there is a path there. There is a way for them to be helped.
Absolutely. And again, I said earlier, I'm one dimensional. I think golf is a really great way for them. We know that golf is incredibly therapeutic. It's a respite for men and women. And whether you play well or you don't play well, it's always the same. Let's continue encouraging them to get out and play golf, because that's what allows them, especially with other brothers and sisters that have also served. There's other great organizations. PJ Hope does a great job, our own organization, on a much different scale, where they'll have you out one day a week and you can go play. And then I know we provide practice opportunities here at PJ Golf Club for veterans that have gone through the Hope thing. But what we do is quite a bit more intense than what PJ Hope does. But when we get done, we got the Warriors Journey on the human side, and we got PJ Hope on the golf side.
Well, I beg to differ. I don't think you're one dimensional. In fact, I think for you, it's been many dimensions, all of which have been good. All right, let's close this, Russ Hole. This has been a terrific talk. Every episode I ask at the end, who would be three people, whether they're with us still or deceased, who would be in your dream, who would make up your dream foursome, three others? And where would you go play a special round of golf? Who would that be?
I'm going to try to say it without getting choked up. Hands down, not even close, You could give me 100 rounds with Tiger. You could give me 100 rounds with Jack. You could give me 100 rounds with Gary. I play with my dad, play with my son, I play with my daughter. My son's a golf professional. My dad was a good player. My daughter played 4 years at the University of Tennessee and is now married to one of the best players in the world. And sad about how good we play, but it would hands down. They never got to meet my dad. So if we could do that, fantastic. Any course works. But if I had my choice, obviously I'd love to go to Augusta.
Yeah. Yeah. What a special round that would be.
Yeah.
Russ Holden, this has been so special spending the time with you. Everything you're doing with the Warriors Journey Golf, with the Warriors Journey, please continue to. And I know that our listeners will be fascinated by this. And don't be surprised if you have some donations and some inquiries from those who might want to help in their own way.
Love to have anybody field any questions. If there's any Warriors out there that are interested in our program, please don't hesitate to use the contact form and just reach out to me.
To all of our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this terrific interview with PGA of America professional Russ Holden, and I hope you'll consider donating to the Warriors Journey. Kelly Elbin signing off and thanking you once again for joining us on Musings on Golf.